Today's episode, we're talking all things WWE Elimination Chamber emanating from Perth, Australia. What happened? What were the results? How does this impact the road to WrestleMania? You are tuned into another episode of the WrestleManiac UK show. Let's go. What's up, people? It's your boy Mex, the WrestleManiac, if you will, back again with another podcast episode for you. Thank you for hitting the download button. And, you know, these podcasts are coming weekly. So, you know, if you like that, obviously let people know, share, all of that good stuff. And yeah, we are reviewing Elimination Chamber today. So Elimination Chamber happened this past weekend at the bright and early time of 10 a.m. for us here in the UK. Obviously, people around the world were crying, waking up early, staying up late. And it was us, the Brits, that, you know, kind of got the last laugh on that. We're used to, you know, camping out into these crazy hours to watch wrestling if we're watching it live. So it was nice to kind of, you know, saw a lot of people waking up. Got your breakfast, your tea, your coffee by your side and turning on some live wrestling. And a really good show. Elimination Chamber, it wasn't like a long card. It wasn't completely, you know, massive like previous pay-per-views. Although, you know, those pay-per-views of old in terms of 7-8 matches, it's gone for WWE. It's not really a thing. That's like WrestleMania now or even like SummerSlam. Because Royal Rumble, because of the two Rumble matches, isn't even that long either in terms of the amount of matches. So, yeah, it's really, really good to have like a nice, quick, brief show. Show was basically done by like, what, 1 o'clock in the afternoon, 1:30 in the UK. And you can just go on and get on with the rest of your day. So it was a pleasure. Myself and the Wrestlings boys, we done a watch along over on the Wrestlings channel. So you can tune into that, see our reactions and all of that live as it happened. But yeah, this was a really tidy show. We'll just kind of go through, you know, what happened on the show and discuss where we think things are going to kind of end up from here. Anything I say you want to talk about, you want to chime in, please hit me up on the Twitter, WrestleManiac UK or the X platform. I don't think I'll ever get used to calling it X, but I'm going to try. Hit me up on X, WrestleManiac UK, and we can talk about that. But like I say, we had 4 matches on the main card, 1 kind of chat show segment, Grayson Waller effect, and then we had a pre-show. And this was the pre-show match, which we'll get into firstly, was added at the 11th hour of the day. You know, late on. The Kabuki Warriors versus Candice LeRae and Australian-born Indy Hartwell. And I'm glad. Now, I will say I missed this match because I thought the pre-show started at 10 and the pay-per-view started at 11. So I was pretty gutted I missed this match because I am an Indy Hartwell fan and I wanted to see her get her moment in Australia. Although all the little like clips I've caught since, the images looked great. She looked like she got a really warm reception, which is great. I don't think I'll go back and watch the match. Although I heard good things about the match, it's happened now, isn't it? Like, and to be honest, I just thought this would be the case. She gets the space on the card to come home, be hometown hero alongside her tag team partner Candice LeRae, and Asuka and Kairi Sane would retain the titles anyway, which is what happened anyway. Like I said, I heard it was a pretty good match to be fair to them, but the Kabuki Warriors left with the win. Hartwell got some nice moments. That's all it really needed to be. Relatively predictable and to the point. So we get onto the main card now. And the show opens up with the Women's Elimination Chamber match. What many have said is probably match of the night. And the first thing I really wanted to discuss here is that, do they plan like these women's matches to the T more so than the men's? Because like if you look back at the Rumble, the women's Rumble was the better Rumble than the men's. Now the women's chamber is the better chamber than the men's by, you know, this is by general public opinion. And I just think is it because I like, I don't want to kind of go down the road of sexism here or anything like that. It could just be a thing where like the women's chamber is newer. The Royal Rumble is for women is more new. Like they might be drilling down and really booking these women's big spectacle matches to a T just because they're more new in the market. And maybe they're just kind of letting the men go off on a bit of a whim, like, all right, you guys know what you're doing here. Give them a few spots and then they go ahead and do it. Because I mean, the women can just be, you know, better and have better chemistry and work together. Of course, that can be a factor as well. But I just think there's a bit of a pattern developing here. Like, even if you ask people over the last few years, on average, what has been the better women's, or sorry, the better Rumble match, women's or men, since they started doing the women's back in, was it 2018? I'm sure people would say on average, women have had the better Rumbles from 2018 till now. So yeah, it is a bit interesting to see, are they just very meticulous with booking the women's one, more so than the men's side of these matches? Or do women just work better together? I don't know, less egos maybe. Who knows? But I think it's an interesting conversation. Lynch, Naomi, they started in the match. We had Tiffany Stratton, Liv Morgan, Raquel Rodriguez and Bianca Belair all in the pods. Just want to say a big shout out to Raquel Rodriguez. For those that know, I believe she's suffering with some type of condition, a skin condition or something like that. Very brave to kind of, you know, just bare her bare face to just come out, no makeup, no nothing. I think she's on the other side of this condition, as opposed to kind of in the trenches with it now. But, you know, still very brave to come out in front of the world, you know, like that. I know, you know, people often use their makeup to kind of hide imperfections and things of that nature. So yeah, Raquel Rodriguez, big up to her on that one. Like I said, very, very good Rumble. Just to go through the eliminations, Naomi was eliminated by Tiffany Stratton, I have a separate video coming out on Tiffany Stratton. That's going to be, I think I'm on my channel. I don't know if it will be on Wrestling's channel or my channel, but I have to talk about Tiffany Stratton because that girl there, that woman, she's doing some very special stuff, man. Some very, very special stuff. And by, again, many opinions over the past weekend, she stole this match. She was the best performer in the Women's Elimination Chamber match. So yeah, she eliminated Naomi. We might have to have a discussion on Naomi and her return and, you know, what is she going to be doing? I know it's still early doors, but yeah, so far, not so impressive, should we say. Tiffany Stratton was then eliminated by Liv Morgan, who gets her lick back after Tiffany Stratton beat her on the episode before, the SmackDown episode before Elimination Chamber. Raquel Rodriguez was eliminated by Bianca Belair. Bianca Belair was then eliminated by Liv Morgan, and before Liv Morgan can blink, she was eliminated by Becky Lynch in quick fashion. Really, really good stuff, like I said, throughout the match. Lots of kind of memorable moments. And yeah, everyone looked good. Everyone looked really strong. Tiffany Stratton, like, deservedly so, like I said, was the star performer. She went over big with the Australian crowd. You would have thought she was a local girl herself. But yeah, there was just some really good stuff throughout. She had a big dive off the top of the pod, which was great. Tiffany Stratton really impressed, man. She really, really impressed. We saw Becky Lynch get the win, like I said. And we saw Bianca Belair have a bit of a meltdown in the corner as to, you know, she didn't win and probably thinking how she get into WrestleMania now and all of that kind of stuff. Very, very, very good Elimination Chamber match, man. The ladies put on, like we were saying. Next up, we had the Judgment Day versus New Catch Republic. I absolutely hate that name. Like, what? New Catch Republic? Yeah. Tyler Bate and Pete Dunne for me. That's what we'll call them. Yeah, Finn Balor and Damian Priest defended the belts against Tyler Bate and Pete Dunne. Great match. As you know, you probably would have assumed, these guys put on a really, really strong match. A lot of really good action. The crowd were into it. Dominic Mysterio was ringside, and he played his part as well before I believe he was thrown out of the match. The crowd were very vocal about Dom Mysterio. Very, very vocal. We started seeing, you know, the change of atmosphere as it went to nighttime here. It was a really cool sunset, which we kind of identified when we were doing the watch along. But yeah, it's really good showing by Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate, beginning to find their feet on the main roster as a twosome, as a tag team. It was kind of obvious again that the Judgment Day would, you know, retain here, and you know, Prince Balor, or Finn Balor, picked up the win with his coup de grace onto Pete Dunne. You can't help but think that Judgment Day are going on to WrestleMania to face the Awesome Truth, Miz and R-Truth, for those tag team straps, and probably lose them to, you know, Awesome Truth. Now, there might be other tag teams involved. They like to get, you know, as many people on the WrestleMania card as possible. But, yeah, you can't help but think those tag team titles post-Mania will be with Awesome Truth and, sorry, yeah, Awesome Truth, Miz and R-Truth. So, yeah, be very, very interesting to see, will it just be those two teams against each other at Mania, or will they throw in other tag teams and stuff? I think it was at this point where we had the chat show segment, Grayson Waller effect, Austin Theory. I don't know, man. Like, I like Austin Theory a lot. I think he's very good. I think he's got a big upside. I think he has big potential for this company. But right now, he finds himself being upstaged by Grayson Waller, I feel they put them together maybe to help more so Grayson Waller when he came to the main roster, because Austin Theory was already there. And Grayson Waller has upstaged him. Austin Theory has almost become a bit of a goofy, clown-esque character, and that's not what his character's meant to be like. Like, when he was in the way in NXT, if you remember, he was supposed to be a dunce and acted accordingly, and he was good. But right now, he's supposed to be like cool, I guess, jerk kind of guy with Grayson Waller. And he ticks those boxes too, but there's an element of goof sneaking in, which for me, yeah, it's not doing him any favors. And I think that was really underlined in this segment where, you know, he was in the ring first. He kind of introed Grayson Waller. So he got a big reception coming down. Grayson Waller done a shoey ringside with, I think it was a UFC fighter. I forget his name. They invited their guests down, Seth freaking Rollins and the American Nightmare, Cody Rhodes. Rollins had an announcement to say that, you know, he will soon be ready for action and return to the ring. He'll soon be medically cleared. Cody Rhodes kind of went to upstage him in a joking fashion and basically called out The Rock and said he wants to challenge The Rock to a singles match before WrestleMania, which Seth Rollins then replied, you know, nothing with the Bloodline is a singles match, and I'll be in your corner. I'll be there for you if The Rock accepts, or whatever the case is. That was the gist of the segment. I will say that I don't really understand what Grayson Waller and the whole Bloodline stuff was about. You know, before on SmackDown, Roman Reigns called Grayson Waller to be like, you know, let's have a word. This is something for your ears only, he said. But ultimately, how did that transpire in the segment? You see what I mean? Like, I don't feel it really transpired at all in the segment. So I don't know. I just don't know what he talked to Roman Reigns about, unless it's still yet to play out on TV. We shall see. But it's a bit of a bit of a weird one, I would say. And then, like I'd say, going back to Austin Theory becoming a bit of a clown, he started doing like The Rock's catchphrases and this, that, and the other. Got beaten up a bit by Seth Rollins and Cody Rhodes, and Grayson Waller just stood there and watched it all happen. So even your mate's not backing you now. So I wasn't really impressed by Austin Theory's performance here. I don't think it does him any favors. I know he's just the guy to take the licks, to take the beats at this point. But yeah, don't think he done him any favors. And yeah, I think we're one step closer in terms of, I guess, the real point of this segment. We're one step closer to maybe Cody Rhodes versus The Rock, or more than likely Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins versus Roman Reigns and The Rock. But we shall see. So then, yeah, we had the men's elimination chamber match following this. In the pods was Kevin Owens, Bobby Lashley, Randy Orton and Logan Paul, and Drew McIntyre and LA Knight started the match. Again, really, really good stuff between all of these guys. In terms of eliminations, it was only done by two men who were left till the end. So a really strong performance here. Drew McIntyre eliminated Lashley. Drew McIntyre eliminated LA Knight after the hater of the year, AJ Styles, came in to the chamber some way, somehow, with a steel chair and absolutely decimated LA Knight. Finished him off with the chair, including a Styles Clash onto the chair. Drew McIntyre to pick up the bones. Randy Orton eliminated Kevin Owens. I think that was following a RKO. Randy Orton also eliminated Logan Paul. And Drew McIntyre eliminated Randy Orton right at the end. And that was following Logan Paul, who hadn't quite left the ring yet. He used his brass knuckles on Randy Orton. So, two things here. Are we heading towards a Logan Paul, Randy Orton WrestleMania match for the United States title, maybe? Maybe Orton is going to be one of many in like a multi-man match for the United States Championship. Because I still kind of think LA Knight is going to win the US Championship, not the LA Championship. I still kind of think it's LA Knight for me. But yeah, to see Logan Paul strike Randy Orton like that with the brass knucks, I thought, very, very interesting as to maybe them setting up a direction for the next, you know, 5 weeks of programming plus WrestleMania. We'll see. But yeah, Drew McIntyre with, you know, ultimately a fantastic performance throughout the chamber. He eliminated three men to win the chamber. Orton eliminated the other two. And Drew McIntyre has booked his place to WrestleMania to face Seth Rollins for the World Heavyweight Championship. I couldn't be happier. I think he definitely deserves a spot like this after his recent performances. This for me, it's been done in a completely different way, but this for me reminds me of his back end of 2019. You know, that run in towards the Rumble, his October, November, December 2019 was fantastic. It was so immense. He had, I think, just separated from, was it Dolph Ziggler's side he was by? And he just went on an absolute tear. No nonsense, beating guys on Raw. That's it, walks out the ring. Claymore, bang, walks out the ring. I think later on, maybe towards the December, is when he started getting a bit of, you know, traction behind him, started picking up a bit of momentum and started doing like the Claymore count thing, which I'm still not a fan of, but he started off no nonsense and then became, you know, a fan's favorite somewhat. Then he won the Rumble, big performance in the Rumble, eliminating Lesnar in the Rumble. Then obviously winning the Rumble, just, you know, you're really going to WrestleMania. And was continuously booked well on the way to WrestleMania. And this is something different. We've seen him at the back end of 2023, you know, lose a couple opportunities to Seth Rollins in regards to opportunities at the world title. again, the Rumble, he didn't do too well in. He was in the last 4 to 6, if I remember correctly, but he didn't do too well in. And he keeps coming back. Obviously, we've seen the CM Punk stuff. CM Punk, who was, I guess, gonna go for that title, injured. He's kind of building a story with CM Punk in the background too, don't mind you, like, don't forget that one. And he's just been a pleasure on TV. He's just been absolutely great, great fun. And it's so important to kind of keep yourself hot, keep yourself warm during this season, because people go down with injuries. They need to be ready to draft you in and all of that stuff. And he was doing some great stuff, and we were trying to figure out where he featured even before, when it still looked like it was going to be Punk versus Rollins at Mania. We were trying to think, well, you can't leave McIntyre not doing something of significance at WrestleMania, because he's been great up to this point. And then obviously when the vacancy came, when Punk went down, you just knew McIntyre had to get the job done. So McIntyre versus Rollins is, you know, penned in. That is going to happen. There is one factor which we still have to consider here, and I think it's Sami Zayn. How does Sami Zayn get into this match? Because it just looks like they're telling a story with Sami Zayn trying to get into this match, trying to get an opportunity at the World Heavyweight Championship. So there's got to be something. There's going to be some type of caveat, or I don't know. I just don't know what it could be that helps Sami Zayn get into this match. Because I'm sure it's going to happen. I just don't know how we get there. And I hope they do something very, very smooth. Like, it looks, it's well worked, you know? I think that would be good to see. And again, I don't know what you guys want or think. Should it be a singles match, McIntyre versus Rollins? Should it be a triple threat match, McIntyre versus Rollins versus Zayn? Let me know on the X platform. Let me know, WrestleManiac UK, because I can't decide either way what I want. It's one of them ones where I want McIntyre to have his moment, you know, overall, in front of a crowd, winning the title. I want Zayn to have that moment too, because I think Zayn just, he's brilliant. He deserves it as well. I want Rollins to walk out champion the way he walked in, because he hasn't done that. I'm super conflicted. And I'm here for Rollins. You know, I think Rollins probably needs to take some more time off. He just needs to get through WrestleMania and his WrestleMania matches. I'm here for Rollins retaining, and then the next night, Damian Priest cashes in on him successfully. I'm here for that. Sami Zayn, people have said something similar for Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn wins and then he gets cashed in on. I think that would be heartbreaking. I think it could be very interesting with McIntyre though. If McIntyre was to win and gets cashed in on by Damian Priest, like on Monday Night Raw after Mania, that could send McIntyre into a crazy spiral. So, yeah, like it's, I don't know. There's, we know McIntyre and Rollins are there for the world title. It's how we get Zayn there is the other thing. And if people genuinely want Zayn in the match at all. But yeah, the men's Rumble was very, very good. You know, we saw KO going crazy on Logan Paul. Logan Paul, when he was in the pods, was, you know, doodling on the glass windows and all of this kind of stuff. Just, you know, being a child and mocking Kevin Owens. We saw Bobby Lashley spear Logan Paul and spear Kevin Owens through, you know, different pod doors, which was great. You always like to see that kind of spot within the Elimination Chamber, especially when the Elimination Chamber looks like a jungle gym these days and not something actually scary and daunting. Like I said, we saw AJ Styles go crazy with a steel chair on LA Knight. You can't help but think those two are maybe going to be within the same matchup with at WrestleMania. They'll probably have their own private blow off before then in terms of that their feud, but yeah, they've got to be in the match Mania as well. Logan Paul had a big spot. He jumped off a pod, done a crossbody. Yeah, Men's Rumble was very good. Men's Rumble was very, very good. I think the women stole it, like I say, or snatched it. I say snatched and stole. The men's wasn't that far under theirs, in my opinion. I thought the women's was better, but yeah. Yeah, I think the men's one was good. And then we get on to the main event, I guess. Do I say two hometown girls or home country girls? Nia Jax, who was born in Australia, she let us know at the press event, was going up against Rhea Ripley, Rhea Bloody Ripley, Adelaide's own. This was in West Australia. This Perth show is West Australia. I believe she's from South Australia, but Australia turned up for Rhea Ripley. This was fantastic. It was the main event of this pay-per-view. And it was just an absolute delight. It was such a good match. It was so fun seeing these women go together. It's like two powerhouses in their own way. We saw the likes of Rhea Ripley pulling out moves that she doesn't usually do, maybe to get over with the crowd even more. Like, Nia Jax was like the perfect foil. And yeah, a word on Nia Jax. I think she's been built up really, really well since her return. I think she returned just before the Royal Rumble, didn't she? So maybe the end of 2023. She's been dealt with very, very well as well. And I've said maybe on my channel or elsewhere, like, it doesn't surprise me that, you know, Triple H had Nia Jax when he was in NXT, and she didn't spend too long in NXT at all, if I remember correctly. They more or less, you know, she had a bit of time there, and then she was on the main roster. And it doesn't surprise me now that Triple H is overseeing her creative. She is thriving. It doesn't surprise me. Like, she has, you know, got into better shape. She is kind of, you know, seemingly taking things a bit more seriously in terms of the in-ring stuff. You know, there's a lot of stuff around her name before. She used to injure people and stuff like that. I just think that Nia Jax has been great and built up really well. I think this may be the first pinfall loss she's taken since she returned. They've kept her very, very strong. They've kept her credible. And that's why she was the perfect kind of person for Ripley to eradicate, if you like, on this massive, massive stage. So yeah, this match was really, really fun. Just good to see these two ladies going at it. You could tell how much it meant to Rhea Ripley post-match when she retained the title off the back of hitting a Riptide. She went out there, she celebrated with her family and stuff, which was great. There was a mad superplex in this match as well, which was crazy. There was a table spot, the announcer's table, where Nia Jax like slammed Rhea Ripley onto the table. The table didn't break. Nia Jax got onto a commentary chair, one of those soft looking desk office chairs that has wheels. So she done well to keep her balance on that. And dived off that to do like an elbow drop through the table onto Rhea Ripley. Then the table exploded. This was a really good match, man. Honestly, this was a really, really good match. And it's good to see that, you know, they take matches off these cards. There's not as many matches. And then they let matches breathe a bit more, the matches that they do have. And then the men, the women, they can put together better, you know, masterpieces in terms of this. This pay-per-view, you know, we'll get into a rating and stuff in a second, but it was just very well put together. And, you know, the one downside you might say is that it was very predictable. You know, many people would have predicted every single result that happened on this pay-per-view. But predictable is not always bad, especially when done well. And I feel like this pay-per-view, you know, topped off of this main event, was done really, really well. Rhea Ripley is a star. She is fantastic. I've always kind of known, you know, since she made her change in appearance from, you know, the happy-go-lucky blonde girl that first showed up in the Mae Young Classic. When she was in NXT UK, I was really trying to understand her. Like, I just didn't hope she was just going to be in, you know, typical another one of these grunge characters. I was just really trying to understand her. And towards the end of her tenure in NXT, was it end of her tenure? I think maybe when she was champion in NXT UK is when I began, the penny began to drop and I was like, okay, she's good. There's something here, definitely. And then obviously she went on to NXT and she probably took a longer than expected to capture gold in NXT. And that's probably more so down to the talents that they had at the time and the stories that they had at the time. Nothing to do with Rhea Ripley. But then she got it and then she was a fantastic NXT champion. Remember, she called out Charlotte Flair. She told Charlotte Flair to pick her for her WrestleMania match. They had a brilliant match in that MT Performance Center. And then, of course, she moved on to main roster. So I think she had some good success off the bat. Then there was that period where she did lose herself a bit in terms of, they weren't booking her right. They booked her with Nikki A.S.H. as tag team champions or for something. I think she won a title at a WrestleMania. She beat, I think, Asuka for a title once at WrestleMania. But it was like nothing. It kind of meant nothing. She wasn't really built up. It was just kind of to do. When she joined the Judgment Day, she refound herself. And I know that Judgment Day that she joined is pretty different to what we have today, but Rhea Ripley's a star. And she kind of went into that next echelon for me at that Saudi show. I think I done a video on this on my, you know, like a TikTok or whatever, an Instagram video or reel, where when she had that entrance at, I think, the November Saudi show, where she had the Guard of Honor by the Saudi men in Saudi Arabia. Men formed a Guard of Honor for a woman. Are you not hearing me? I said, yeah, something's happening. The tide is shifting. And I thought for a long time, which has obviously come to pass now, we were going to get Becky Lynch versus Rhea Ripley at WrestleMania for the world title, and Becky Lynch was going to beat her and put over the next person, you know, eventually somewhere down the line. That's what I had been very sure of what's happening until November. Until that Saudi show. When that Saudi show happened, I saw that entrance. I still said it was going to be Becky Lynch versus Rhea Ripley, but I'm pretty sure Ripley retains at this point. I'm pretty sure Ripley retains because she's fantastic. It's such a small thing in regard to this reference I'm making about Saudi Arabia. I like, in terms of wrestling, it's just an entrance. You see what I mean? But yeah, I don't know. I just think Rhea Ripley is special. She's doing something right now where we've seen these kind of great runs to titles and runs with championships like Bianca Belair's had in recent times. Charlotte Flair's, I wouldn't really say so because they all seem to be very short reigns, but she has the amount of numbers. But Rhea Ripley is, she's women's world title, which admittedly, you know, the matches, the title defenses weren't very convincing because I don't feel they were really building up her competitors too much. But she's building momentum now. She's doing some great stuff now. She's in one of the best factions in the company right now. She is de facto leader of that faction right now. So she's doing all the right things, man. The momentum is with her. There's so much more to come. It will never happen, but, you know, people have discussed as well about things like crossover. like what do they call it, like a multi-gender match or something like that, which would just be great for Rhea Ripley. But yeah, she deserves everything she experienced over this past week, all the love returning home to Australia, all the love she would have got, being the marquee, being the main event, reveling in all of that, seeing her family. She deserves all of that because she has been brilliant for a very long time now, consistently brilliant. Like I said, there was that bit of a dip with the Nikki A.S.H. stuff, and I think there was some other stuff before that as well. But all in all, you know, her WWE career has been fantastic. Has been fantastic. So it was, it's great for her to return to WWE, or return to Australia, sorry, as a WWE superstar. And yeah, definitely kind of be the head miss in charge, like leading the WWE charge through Australia. Yeah, very proud of Rhea Ripley. And like I say, this was a really good show. This was a really fun pay-per-view, all in all, at a good time for us here in the Brits. And yeah, we are now officially, you know, there's no more stops. WrestleMania is next, which is crazy. That's in WWE world, of course. This week we've got AEW Revolution, which is bound to be brilliant. But in WWE world, we have WrestleMania next. The card is shaping up, man. The card is shaping up, and you know, it's hopefully going to be a really, really good show. I'm looking forward to WrestleMania now that a couple more things have been decided and things are taking place. Good to see. Got to see the fallout, you know, on Monday Night Raw from this Elimination Chamber show. I think that's going to be fun as well. But yeah, I just wanted to bring to you guys just solely an Elimination Chamber review today. Just speak my mind on direction, the show itself. And yeah, WWE continue to impress and, you know, clean up the product and clean up their presentation of things and people and stuff like that. So yeah, can't complain. I hope you guys enjoyed this one. Like I say, man, share the podcast. I'd really appreciate that. Let people know about the weekly pods that we drop on this podcast feed. And yeah, looking for more kind of stuff to do with the channel and stuff like that. If you are a podcast listener, can I ask a favor? In fact, can you just DM me and just say, I listen to the podcast? Because I'm trying to get a gauge on where my listeners are, who they are, etc., etc. There's demographics and stuff that show some of this stuff, but at the same time, I just want to kind of know you guys closer as well, like, you know, a bit more community, if you see what I mean. So yeah, drop me a DM on X, WrestleManiac UK. And yeah, thank you for downloading this podcast. There will be more podcasts coming up very, very soon. So WrestleManiac UK signing out, and I'll see you soon.